I was born into a very political family. My father, Raymond, was imprisoned as an IRA prisoner when I was about 1 year old.
You're listening to Humans of Politics, a podcast about how it feels to be a politician. My name is A.B. Philbin Bowman, and my guest today is the Sinn Féin Senator, Pádraig McLoughlin.
And then for the next 9 years, he was imprisoned in prisons across England. So we would have travelled. We were based in Birmingham in the middle of England, and we would have travelled right across the country. So I suppose the first half of my life was really conflict. And the second half has been the Good Friday Agreement, has been trying to build, you know, a future for all of our people. I'm from Buncrana. You know, we're about 20 minutes from Derry City. So, you know, the border, the demilitarisation, the normalisation of our society has been huge.
Just to set the scene for those who may not remember this, the year after you were born, 21 innocent people were killed in two bombs in pubs in Birmingham. And within a few months, six Irish men had been convicted and imprisoned for those murders. We now know they were totally innocent as well. It was a time of incredible pain and tension between Irish and English people in Birmingham. What was it like being a child going to school, the son of an IRA prisoner?
When we were in the prisons on the visits, there, you know, you would have come across, you know, very strong anti-Irish racism. I have to say, I had a remarkable experience in the school. I went to a school called English Martyrs in working class Birmingham, and it was an ethnic fusion of a place: Africans, Asians, Irish, English, all poor working class. It was a wonderful school. You know, I remember one time being mean to a girl in the school, and I had to bring in a box of Maltesers the next day. It was that kind of a school. Great culture. Great. So I have really good memories of living in a multi-ethnic working class. I have a real affinity for the ordinary English people. And I think it was just a huge tragedy that my father from Buncrana watched Bloody Sunday, watched Spally Murphy, and took a decision to join the IRA.
I'm also aware that your father died when you were still quite young. What impact did that have on your life?
Well, you know, in my case, that might sound extraordinary, but my father was in prison for, you know, 9 of the first 10 years of my life, and I lost him when I was 12. But I would go to visit him once a month, and we would have two visits on the weekend. And he was just a hero figure in my life. He used to write letters, in terms of, you know, words, English words, what do they mean? Irish words, what do they mean? He would give me a country on a map. I had a big map on my bedroom wall at home, and I would sort of put pins. And so we were learning and being educated together. My father never got to complete his education at home. So for me, he was, you know, and still is the greatest person I've ever known, and a hero in my life. But yeah, I certainly from the age of 12, you know, I was without a father. I was fortunate then because my uncle Colm, who was also had been imprisoned as a Republican prisoner, you know, became a major figure in my life, and then other people, men and women. So for me, it hasn't been a sense of loss for me. I think it's, if anything, it's the reason why I am what I am today.
And then that instinct to sort of get involved in politics. Can you remember when you first thought yourself, you know, I kind of fancy having a go at that world? What sort of spurred that in you?
Well, I was involved in community development. I mean, I always obviously was an Irish Republican, and I joined Sinn Féin as soon as they would let me join. But I went down the path of community development, and you know, I would have worked at local level. I was elected onto the local, you know, partnership board. At national level, I worked with the National Organization of the Unemployed. I learned an awful lot from people of very different political perspectives. I was co-opted onto the town council, elected then, and then eventually found my way, you know, being elected to the Dáil and now in the Shannon. So I've been a public representative for 17 years now. I want to say this is that, you know, the vast majority of people of all political perspectives and none that I have worked with, from that Buncrana Town Council through to the Shannon today, are good, decent people of all political perspectives. We'll disagree on how to run the health service, the education system, what taxation should be. But I think that the vast majority of people that I've met in politics are motivated by making their community a better place. And I think it's really important that we emphasise that's you know, it becomes a bit of a Punch and Judy show. Sometimes it can become personalised. But we do need to, I think we need to talk up the vast majority of people who are in politics in Ireland.
So how do you reconcile what you've just said with the fact that when you ask lots of people about politicians, and you'll have heard this on doorsteps, they say something totally cynical like, they're all the same, they're in it for themselves, they're all crooked, they're only there for the money.
We've all fed into the narrative. I mean, you would hear the story about the councillor who gets expenses to go to a funeral, you know, that they're all on the take. And if you look at, you know, we talk about county and city councillors, what they actually earn is €16,000 a year. Now, we expect them to be full time. And I listened to a radio program the other day where I think it was an academic said, you know, that they're part time. No, the people who ring their local councillor on a Saturday night when there's a bit of flooding or there's some emergency in their community, they don't expect that councillor to say, call me on Monday morning at 9 o'clock, I'm back in the office. They are full time and they should be available to their community. They're paid €16,000 a year. I mean, if you add up expenses after real losses, maybe at most it's €20,000 a year. You know, is anybody seriously suggesting that that is an attractive amount of money for somebody to give such a commitment that they give? You know, and we don't say that enough. We always focus on the more extreme examples of people. And there are some people in the system who've milked the expenses for sure. But in my opinion, the considerable majority haven't done that. And I actually get angry about this, and I challenge even colleagues sometimes of my own. When you attack the standing of public representatives, you actually devalue yourself. You devalue the body politic. That's not to say, of course, public representatives should be criticised. You know, they put themselves before the people. They ask the people to put their trust in them for 5 years. They ask the people to give them, you know, power at local and national level. So they absolutely should be challenged on the decisions they make. They should be held to account. But to say that they're in it for the money in the vast majority of cases is utter nonsense.
So why do you do it? I mean, what does motivate people to run for office?
I think it's that it's an addiction to solving problems, you know, issues that people have dealing with the system. People sometimes who might have literacy issues, people who are carers, who are dealing with loved ones with disabilities. My most powerful experience as a public representative was working with a neighbour and her son had Down syndrome, and she was fighting for his right to have a special need assistant. And it was really very much on the borderline whether it was going to happen. I remember walking up my street with her child at the time in her hand, crying her eyes out, and I was certain that she'd got bad news. And she came to my door and she was crying, and she said that, you know, we got it, we got the special needs assistant. I remember just standing with her in tears, and that's addictive, the ability to work with people to change their lives. And I genuinely think that most public representatives are motivated by that, and that's what keeps them in politics. It's certainly at local level anyway, it's certainly not the money at local level.
You're also the first person of traveller heritage to have been elected to the Dáil. How does that part of your identity inform your politics?
I think I've had a unique insight because my grandparents were travellers. My mother was born on the side of a road. They settled when my mother was very young. And by the time I came around, I never experienced, you know, the reality of life for the 40,000 members of the travelling community in Ireland today, for example. I do think I have a unique position, being of traveller heritage, but also being of the settled community, to see both perspectives. And this is where we have to be honest. There are challenges. You know, there are people in the settled community who are not racists, but have had a very bad experience of the unfortunate tiny minority of travellers that they have met, or indeed, if it's criminality, have been victims of. And we need to be honest about the problems, because as we've seen in the presidential election, there's a lot of Irish people who chose to vote for Peter Casey on the basis of the comments that he made. And we can't ignore that. We need to address that. We need to be serious about that. It's critical that the real stories, like, who are the Irish travellers? What are their stories? You know, it's not Big Fat Gypsy Win. It's not the bare knuckle fight. And it's not the criminality of a tiny minority. What is their part in Irish history? You know, we were all nomadic people going back in our history. There are serious comparisons between the nomadic travelling people in Ireland who continued their ways much longer, actually, than, for example, the Indigenous people of Australia or the Indigenous people of the United States and the Native Americans. And similar problems have arose, which is basically that the vast sway of society have embraced being settled, having your own home, having your stake of land, staying in one place, holding down a job and so on and so forth. And it's been a huge struggle of how you live in a society like that, and we make space for people of Indigenous backgrounds. And in Ireland, at a point in time in the 60s, we completely eradicated the history of the travelling people. We had the Commission on Itinerancy. We wrote them off as a problem to be immersed into wider society. And that was a huge mistake, And we're living with the repercussions of that. What we need to do in the here and now is, and I've said this to so many people in the travelling community, we need to build on the state's recognition of ethnicity, which was a powerful moment. We also need to confront the behaviour of some within the community, you know, in terms of criminality and so on, and people who are not taking care of a space of land. I don't have any tolerance for that. I, you know, one of my great loves is our tidy towns. I love places being spruced up, painted, trees being planted. I love tidy towns activists. So for me, it's just repugnant to see a place being torn up. So I'm not going to lie about that. You know, I don't have any tolerance for that. And I will defend and love the story of my granny Lizzie, for example, one of the most wonderful women I've ever known in my life. But I will not tolerate the bad parts. So if we're going to move forward, we need to have an honest dialogue, an honest conversation. And that's how we defend the role of the travelling people better than we have before.
Senator Pádraig McLoughlin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Humans of Politics. If anything really annoyed you or got you thinking, all feedback is very welcome. I'm on Twitter as AB Philbin Bowman, at ABIEPB. You can hear every episode of the show for free. It's on the RT radio player or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Humans of Politics. Finally, if you'd like more people to hear this conversation, the simplest and cheapest thing you could do would be to leave us a nice review on iTunes or Spotify. Thanks again for listening.